Okay, I want to share with you a couple of things that God has placed in my heart for this season. And this is very much related to the book of James as well, because the book of James is a very practical book. And, you know, some of you ask, you know, are you preaching on chapter 2 now or chapter 3? No. We are not going to do that. We're going to give an overview idea and the challenges, and then, you know, the study. We will do it in our CGs, okay? And I want us to constantly think of this whole area of being practical, all right? Last week, I know most of us were not around, we talked about power. And today I want to continue a little bit on that. What happened last week was that on Saturday, there was a crazy storm. Okay, some of you were affected by it. Some of you have to clean your house the next day. Some of you have to clean the house the next couple of days, not knowing what will happen. And, you know, the authorities say, okay, expect another one coming, you know, and then all these WhatsApp messages and Facebook messages all going around, which, you know, cause a lot of panic everywhere. Every time people see dark clouds, people get scared. Why? Because, you know, possible storm again, so don't leave the house, you know, all this kind of thing. So far, so good, huh? Things are tapering down, and although we know that there's still lots to be done, especially in the mainland. We talked about how, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Lord reminded me that there were a couple of things that happened that caused that. Number one, there was rain, okay, water, flood, you know, and then there was wind. And these two pictures are actually the representation, or rather the Bible used these two elements to represent the Holy Spirit, you know, because the Holy Spirit is a wind that directs, gives us direction. The Holy Spirit is also, or water is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit that is, cleansing. And also, you know, there is, an overflow, all right? And the Bible tells us that, you know, but there's so much power. In last Saturday's crazy storm, you know, we see trees falling down. We see the aftermath. People describe it like a war zone. Okay. Certain places you can't even see the ground. You know, it's mud and leaves everywhere. And, I asked myself, the Lord challenged us last week, you know, do we experience that power? You know, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to change for the better, to change the environment, to change situations. We need to challenge ourselves to be able to rise up and say, God, if there's so much power in me, because the presence of the Holy Spirit is in me, then something must happen. Things need to happen. If things don't happen, means something wrong. No connection. Okay? Something is wrong. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles. I want to very quickly go through this and perhaps cause us to reflect a little bit on what God wants to do in our lives. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And this is the story of David bringing the ark back, or wanting to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. Let's read from verse 1. David conferred with each of his officers, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. Okay, so basically he got all his key leaders together. And he said this. He said to them, he then said to the whole assembly of Israel, it seems good to you, if it seems good to you, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our brothers throughout the territories of Israel, and also the priests and the Levites who are with them, and in their towns and pasture lands, to come and join us. Verse 3, let us bring the ark of the Lord back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul. And the whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. And so, verse 5, David assembled the Israelites from Shihor River to Egypt, in Egypt, to Lebo Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. David and all the Israelites with him went to Bala of Judah to bring up from there the ark of the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubs, the ark that is called by the name. So David, together with everybody else, agreed this is one thing that we need to do. We need to bring the ark back. And so goes the process, all right, of bringing the ark back. And what happened was that in the midst of bringing it back, you know, they put it on a cart, which they're not supposed to, all right? And then, you know, they were going through some rough terrain, I believe, and the cart sort of, you know, tilted, bumped. And this guy by the name of Uzzah reached out to keep it in place, and the Lord struck him. He was dead. So, and what happened was, I don't want to go into details of that. And what happened is, in verse 12, tells us that David was afraid of God that day and asked, how can I ever bring the ark of God to me? So, in the first place, they were not supposed to put it on a cart, right? But, I don't know, for whatever reason, they built a new cart and, you know, maybe tried to be smart. And someone died because of that. And then, David, was afraid. Okay? And then he said, as verse 13 says, he did not take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained with the family of Obed-Edom in the house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. Now imagine this, okay? Here's the scenario, right? They're trying to, you know, take this ark back. Something happens. Someone dies. Okay? And David now is afraid. Okay? Ayo. How, I think maybe don't need to take back, Okay? And he goes to the house of this guy by the name of Obed-Edom. He knocks on the door. Imagine, Talk, 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 knock on the door. Obed-Edom opens the door and says, you know what? Put in your house, can Now, because he's king, right? Can do anything, Okay? What would your response be, If David came to your house, knocked on the door, and you know what? This just happened, you know? We're trying to transport the ark back, right? And, you know, it sort of tipped, and, you know, this guy touched it, and he's dead now. I don't want to take the ark back. I put it in your house. Can I? What would you say? Can't just put over there, don't touch. Because the king requested that, there's no choice, you know. As one. Okay? The Bible doesn't tell us how this guy, Obed-Edom, felt. But what happened was the ark went into the house. Okay? The ark is a representation of the presence and the power of God. The presence of God goes where the ark of God goes. That's why when they travel, the Levites, the singers and all that will go first, the ark will go first. And they would follow the presence of God. The ark of God is a representation also of the power of God, who is with his people. Now, today I'd like us to think of what the presence and the power of God does to us. Obed-Edom, probably, I don't know. I mean, he definitely had no choice. He cannot reject. Okay? But we don't know how he felt. Maybe he was like, okay lah, since the king says so, no choice, so be it. Or he could have says excellent. Just bring it in. Put it right over there in the living room. But whatever he did, however he felt, something happened to him. And today I would like to think about three things that happened. Okay? The Bible tells us that the ark, verse 14, of God remained in the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. Everything in his house was blessed. 3 months. Can you imagine that? Everything in his house. The people were blessed. You know, you cook rice, the rice smell nicer. You drive the car, run smoother. I mean, your horse runs smoother. Everything was blessed. There is a change. The presence of God changes the place it dwells. The environment was changed. The place, everything, okay? In some versions says all. All that was in the house was blessed. All that was in the house was blessed. I mean, I would park my car in the house. Bring everything in the house. Because the presence of God changes the place. Blessing is a response to the power and the presence of God in our midst. If that is so, then we need to ask the question, the place that we dwell, the place that we are in, is it blessed? And if the place is not blessed, could it be that the ark is not there? In other words, the presence and the power of God is not there. The presence and the power of God changes places. Without the presence and the power, it basically means that we will be living by our own power. Correct? We will be trying to achieve the blessing ourselves. How? By our own strength. And maybe we have had parents, uncles, aunties, grandfathers, grandmothers, relatives, friends, who have said this to us, or we have heard it somewhere. It says like this, or to this extent, if you want to achieve anything, you got to do it yourself. Yeah? If you want to achieve anything, you got to do it yourself. Don't rely on other people. Now, basically what that says is this. In order to receive, in order to change the environment and the place that you are in, you do it by your own power. Okay? And, not only power, but your presence makes the difference. Your own presence. Because you have to do it yourself. Okay? You don't rely on somebody else to do it. So your presence needs to be there. Your power needs to be there. Now, how many of us would like God's power compared to our own power? Change stuff, right? Amen? I mean, you really think about that. Okay, because if we say God's presence is not here, God's power is not here, we will automatically, naturally function in our own power, in our own presence. You follow me? God's presence changes places. After 3 months, David comes, knocks on the door and says, okay, I'm going to take the ark back. I mean, this guy's been blessed for 3 months, you know. His whole household changes. The place that he dwells changes. Right? Because David is king, you know, Obed-Edom cannot refuse. Right? It's yours anyway. Take it. Go. Right? And the ark then leaves. Okay? But here's the thing. If you read chapters 15 and 16, you see this guy's name mentioned over and over again. Obed-Edom. Okay, he's not just a guy whose house happened to be on the way back to Jerusalem. Okay, and, you know, David decided, okay, I'll keep the ark there. But you see that as the ark goes back, chapter 15, let's read, we'll just read different verses. Okay. Verse 16. David told the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brothers as singers to sing joyful songs accompanied by musical instruments, lyres, harps, and cymbals. Verse 17. So the Levites appointed Heman, son of Joel, and his brothers, and so on and so forth, all the names there, and you look down that list, Obed-Edom is mentioned. Right there. I don't know about you, but the presence and the power of God, second thing that it changes, not only the place, it changes the priorities. It changes the priorities of this man. This man who has experienced the presence and the power of God, when the leader says, okay, you know, we need volunteers. We need, you know, singers, we need players, we need musicians to accompany the ark. Guess who raises his hand up? Obed-Edom. Count me in. I'm going to get involved in whatever God and wherever God is. Let's go on, Verse, chapter 15, verse 23. Okay. So, there's all these musicians and all that. Verse 23, Berechiah, and Elkanah were to be doorkeepers for the ark. Okay, so now we're talking about doorkeepers. And then verse 24 goes on with a list of people. Okay, Shebaniah, Josaphat, Nathaniel, Amasai, Zechariah, Benaiah, Elijah, the priests were to blow the trumpets before the ark of God. And then this name comes up again. Obed-Edom and Jehiah were also to be doorkeepers for the ark. But wait a minute. He just signed up to be a singer, right? Now he's there. He's a doorkeeper for the ark. Some more. Chapter 16. They brought the ark of the Lord, set it aside, set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. They presented burnt offerings, fellowship offerings before God. David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings, fellowship offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. Verse 4, he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, to praise. Okay, this is what minister is supposed to do. Okay, to make petition, give thanks, to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 5, a whole list of names. Guess whose name is there? Obed-Edom. Now he signs up to be a minister as well as a doorkeeper, as well as a singer. Let's go on. Verse 37. Okay. David left Asaph and his associates before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister there regularly according to each day's requirements. He also left who? Obed-Edom and his 68 associates to minister to them. Obed-Edom, son of Jeduhun, and also Hosea, were gatekeepers. So now, we see that Obed-Edom is enlisted as what? Gatekeepers. This guy, pau kaliao, you know. He is doing everything. Or he's getting his hands and he's volunteering to do the things that represent, that has the presence, the power of God in its midst, where the ark is. That ark coming to his house, I believe, changed many things. We read earlier that it changed the place that he was living in, his home. And we can see from here, this guy is also saying, hey, me, singer me, minister can also, doorkeeper, gatekeeper, put up your hand. Priorities change. The presence and the power of God changes our priorities. And so we need to ask ourselves this question again. Okay? We say that if the presence and the power of God changes the place, we've got to experience something that's totally different. Or else, question mark, hey, are we connected? Number two, there needs to be a change in our priorities. You know, it is so easy to say, let somebody else do it. it is so easy to say, I think that person more gifted. Let the person go and do it. It's so easy to say, this one not for me. It's so easy to say, I'm too busy. It's even easy to say, and put somebody else's name to it, cannot lah, because, you know, family, because work, because, I don't know, whatever else. Very easy. But we need to ask the question, hey, what about our priorities? Are they changing on a regular basis because of the presence and the power of God in our midst? Because we are chasing after the presence and the power of God. Things change. One final thing. I said three things, right? There's definitely more than three things. But just based on this guy, three things. Let's go down to chapter 26. And so, these few chapters, chapters 23 onwards, there is a list of people who were doing different things. And chapter 26 and verse 8 says this. Okay, there's this whole list there. And verse 8 says, all these were descendants of Obed-Edom. Descendants of Obed-Edom. And they and their sons and their relatives. Okay? They, their sons, their relatives were capable men with the strength to do the work. Descendants of Obed-Edom. 62 in all. The presence of God changes the place we are in, changes our priorities, and thirdly, it changes our family. If you want a P word for JC, progeny. Okay, it changes our line. 62. Of them all. Who were they? They were sons, their relatives, capable men, all enlisted. And it says that they were men with strength to do the work. 62 in all. All of us desire to leave a strong legacy behind. Well, you should anyway, if you don't. You should desire to leave a strong legacy behind. One that your descendants and your relatives will carry forward for the sake of the name of the Lord. For the sake of the kingdom. And the only way we can do that is for them to see the presence and the power of God in our lives. For them to see and experience that we are actively pursuing the presence and the power of God. And who were these 62? What were they doing? They were all in the ministry, gatekeepers. All of them enlisted. Strong and capable to do the work. Now, three things. The presence and the power of God changes in the life of Obed-Edom. We need to come and ask ourselves this question. What? How? Are we experiencing the presence and the power of God? Because things need to change. James, the book of James, basically says this, right? Prove it. Okay? Let us work out and prove. Let the world see through our works that we have faith. That we are believers of the Lord. It needs to come out. Meaning to say that things need to change. We need to be helping people. We need to watch our tongue. We need to have wisdom. All these things need to change more and more and more and more for the glory of God. If not, means something may be wrong with our connection. Our salvation, even. Because things in our life don't change. If things in our life don't change, then our salvation is questionable there. Correct? Things gotta change. We cannot be doing the same thing over and over again. The power and the presence of God changes things. Changes the place we are in. Changes our priorities. Changes our family. And here's my challenge for each one of us today. Are we hooked up? Hooked up to the power and the presence of God? We came in today, no LCD, no sound system. Why? Because, you know, there are three switches which were not connected. They were doing some electrical work downstairs, I think. Switched it off. And we are like, okay, let's do without lah. It's fine, we can do without. No problem. Still can carry on. But when we are connected, something changes. These guys are able to stand up there now. You can look at the screen and read the words. When we are connected. I've been asking the Lord, God, what are the changes that we need to see in our midst? What are the changes that we need to see that we need, what are the things that we need to reconnect to the presence and the power so that we can see changes? Because if we are not connected, nothing changes in our home, nothing changes in our family, our priorities don't change. So we sing that song, my favorite song, Que Sera, Sera. Whatever will be. Right. We adopt that. And then we say, this is what will happen lah. Whatever will be. Well, actually, what we are saying is this. It is by my power and my presence that things change. So today the challenge for us is this. We need to drop. We need to drop that whole idea of saying, I can do it. And look to God and say, God, I need you to do it. I need your presence and your power. Because my presence and my power doesn't change anything. Or rather, doesn't change anything for eternity. Let's put it that way. You can change a lot of things. But it probably won't change things for eternity. And we have this powerful tool that God gave us. It's called a brain. It's excellent stuff up here. And you know what we do with it? We look at this brain of ours and we say, you know, this brain is very powerful. We can think of solutions and we can think of ways to do things my way. And God is left out of the picture. Now today, there is a knock on our door. There's a knock on our door.
And David comes to us and says, hey, how about putting the ark in your house?
And here's the thing. This time, we have a choice. We can say, yay! Let's welcome the ark, the presence and the power of God right here. Or, we can say this. This is going to be too troublesome for me. We can even say this, you know. I'm very scared of the presence of God because if it comes into my house, I know everything will change. My priorities have to change. You know, once upon a time, I had a youth say this to me, you know, Pastor, don't pray for me. Say, don't pray for me. Because I know prayer works. Say, Pastor, don't pray for me because I know prayer works. Now, this person was, you know, lukewarm. Let's put it that way. Okay. Not very on fire. Going through certain struggles in life. And that has caused a priority shift. Believer, okay, already accepted Christ. But says this, don't pray for me because I know prayer works. Basically what he's saying is this. I'm not willing to change my priorities at this point of time. So don't. And so, you know, some of us, we listen to that. We say, hey, how can, don't pray for you. Okay. All right. I wouldn't say that. Don't pray for me. We all welcome prayer, correct? But here's the thing. In reality, sometimes we are afraid of the presence of God because the presence of God changes our priorities. And we don't want to change. Because the presence of God can be quite scary. We encounter God and then God says, you know, go to this small island in the middle of nowhere and start preaching. Give up your whole life. Give up your dream. And travel across the world and be a missionary. Oh God, that's not what I want to do. The presence of God comes, we encounter the presence of God and God says, okay, we'll wake up 5 a.m. every morning and pray. Oh God, how can that be? There's a change of all my priorities. Cannot lah. You know what? I'm not capable. Ask Pastor Selena. The presence of God messes with our life. And in reality, if we are honest with ourselves, sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, we are guilty of saying this, you know, I don't want the presence of God. I just want the blessing of God. It's not going to come, you know. Because the presence and the power of God is the thing that brings the blessing. You get me? And it's not the other way around. And so church, we need to ask ourselves today, are we ready to see changes in our life? A lot of times we want to see the change without going through the process. Huh? Yeah? We wish we live in a fairy tale land, you know. You know, where the fairies come with a wand, and then zap you, and then suddenly you look handsome or have six packs, you know. Like, zap, I got six packs, man. That's excellent. Maybe you all want six packs. No, maybe not, You want six packs without working out? Not gonna happen lah. Okay? You on the TV, that's what they tell you. You know, this is what's gonna happen. You get six packs by drinking this, you know, miracle juice. You drink twice a day, you got six packs. Total rubbish. We want to live in that fairy tale light. environment.
And you know, sometimes we want God to be like that.
We want God to come with his magic wand, okay, touch our brains and suddenly we become clever. No need to study for exam. Straight A's.
Open your bank account, suddenly full. No need to work.
Wake up, go to shower, come back, your bed already made. That'd be nice, right? We have blessing after blessing after blessing without going through what James calls the trials of many kinds. So that our faith is tested and that faith produces perseverance, and when perseverance has taken its course, then we become mature. Yeah? James chapter 1 verse 2, right?
So church, the presence and the power of God. Right now, I believe that God is saying, hey, one or not? There are certain things that we need to do, obviously. Open the door and say, come. Put the ark here, right in front of the living room. We need to welcome the presence of God in. And that happens in our spirit. Say, God, I want you. I want to experience your presence. I want to experience your power. Because that changes things. It changes the place I'm in. It changes my priorities. That's what we're all scared of, right? It changes our priorities. It changes our family. All that changes. For his glory. Let's bow our heads right now. Receiving the presence of God. Just listen to me as your heads are bowed. Receiving the presence of God is something that we need to do wholeheartedly. It's not something that we can do partially. Okay, because, you know, God wants us to totally surrender. And when that happens, then we see things change. When that happens, our priorities begin to change. God will challenge us. And as James says, we need to then be obedient. We need to take that step. And then we'll see the blessing of God more and more and more. So right now, church, can we just say a prayer to the Lord and say, God, you know, if you have closed certain doors, it says, maybe a particular area, an interest in your life, a hobby or your work or your family, certain areas in your life, you have closed the door and say, God, you know, this one is like that one lah. God is saying, now open the door to the presence and the power of God. Maybe for years, you know, your situation has been like that. The presence and the power of God needs to come. We need to open the door to chase after the presence so that the presence and the power of God can make a difference. Perhaps there are certain areas in our life that we choose to say, God, I don't want you to touch this area. I mean, I love this. You know, I'm afraid that you will change all my priorities as far as this is concerned. Whatever that interest is, for some of us, it may be sports. Okay, this is my interest. Alright, I want to play floorball until, you know, I'm 60 years old. I want to climb until I'm 60 years old. I want to dance until I'm 60 years old, or whatever age you want to put there. And we are not ready to let God change those priorities. And we say that, God, you know, you do whatever you do lah, but I want to do whatever I want to do. And we don't let the presence and the power of God take control of those areas. Because we are afraid that priorities will change. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to change our priorities. Right now, whatever those areas are, we need to tell the Lord, Lord, I open the door. I want to welcome your presence in. I want to experience your power. change my life. Turn it upside down. Mess it up. Huh, very difficult to pray that prayer, right? God, mess up my life. So that it will be aligned with you. You know, there are certain things that we need to start over. And sometimes God says, this is what I want to do. I want to start over. Mess it all up. So that I can start over. Would you open the door right now? Because the presence and the power of God wants to come in to our life. When I say this, this message is not for somebody else. This message is for you. If you're sitting here, this message is for you. Minister to us right now, Lord Jesus. As we open our hearts to you, as we choose to seek after your presence, come Holy Spirit, cause us to experience your presence and your power in Jesus' name. Amen.